That was great. You know, in all the years I had been in the church, I've never seen a duet like that. And then he just whispered to me, they open at the Hilton next week. So I can't wait to see your show. That was incredible. Thank you for doing that. I have never seen people with such age differences singing together. I don't know how to say that without making it sound funny, but, you know, I've just never seen that before. That was great. Let's do it again for him. That was incredible. If I've never met you, my name is Ben Mathis, and I started an organization called Row. I am now officially the old man. I'm no longer the executive director, and you're the first church I've introduced myself to as the old man of Row. It's kind of a fun place to be, but we're trying to transition the organization so that if something happens to me or I get too old to keep doing it, it'll keep right on going because the rivers keep going, and so will Row. But basically, we go down a remote jungle river, and we ask, what is the toughest thing about living here, and what do you want to do about it? And we make it very clear, it's your country, it's your people, it's your village, can be our problem. So what's the problem? Because of that, because we ask, we do everything from classic one-on-one evangelism, pastor training, build a church, plant the gospel, all the way to academic scientific research, nation building, health, education, clean water, intervening with radical Islam. It is a full plate, and it's a lot of fun, and you have helped us for years and years and years as this church. God bless you, and thank you for that. I don't get to see you very often, so believe it or not, I take seriously which text we're going to share when we come to town, because I won't see you again for probably at least another year. And so today I found a text that I just think is so important that you've all heard before. It does not show up on the wall, correct? Take it off of there. You didn't see that, did you? Because I want you to hear the Word of God today instead of seeing it. I want you to listen to the Word of God because this is such a familiar passage of Scripture. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then let's listen to the Word. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this wonderful day. We ask that you clear our hearts and minds of any cares. Let us come to your Word expecting to be fed. For Jesus' sake, amen. And now from the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, listen to the Word of God. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is... the greatest of these is... Thank you. God bless you. This is the word of the Lord. Say amen. Who's heard this passage before? Go ahead and raise your hands if you would. I figured you had. In the business, we call this the wedding passage. Because anytime we stand somewhere like this, here comes the bride and the groom. At some point in time, they want to hear these words in a wedding ceremony. Now, I have a couple of rules at weddings. I always want to see right hand over left. And I tell them, I want to see teeth. I want a lot of teeth at a wedding. If people are not happy, let's just go home and forget the whole thing. And then here comes the wedding. The bride is always beautiful. The bridesmaids are almost as beautiful as the bride. The groomsmen all look kind of dorky, to tell you the truth. And the poor groom is scared to death. It's just so tragic. You know, he's walking there like this. And they come down here, and we have our little ceremony. And somewhere in the midst of it all, I have them look at each other, and then I read to them this. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It's not boastful or proud. Love isn't rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, don't raise your hand. But wouldn't you like to know how many of you just then heard those words and reached over and held the hand of somebody you love? And how many of you are looking straight ahead going, he's not talking about him. I can tell you that for sure. It's not her. I can tell you that. Here's the great thing about this passage. Whether you're walking on marshmallows because you love each other so much, or whether you've had it with each other, this passage is just a great reminder of God's love. Realize, Paul wrote this part of Scripture to a group of people who didn't like each other. The church at Corinth just argued about everything, and here into the middle of it, Paul is saying, let me tell you about love. Oh, don't you know that upset some folks? This is what we call a because of Jesus passage. It doesn't mention the Lord at all, does it? We call it a because of Jesus passage. Because of Jesus, we have faith. Because of Jesus, we have hope. And because of Jesus, we have love. And again, the greatest of these is? Okay. Now let's try a little experiment. What is this? Okay. The whole Bible? Is it just the bi or just the bull? Or is it the Bible? Which is it? Who has the Bible? Who's got it? I do. Very good. Thank you. That's very observant. Now, I'm going to hand the Bible right here to Will. Who has the Bible? Will's got it. Has he got the bi or the bull or the whole thing? He's got the whole thing. He's got the whole Bible, right? Where do we get love? We love because who first loved us? God first loved us. Who gave us love? Did he give you the la or the va or the whole thing? Gave the whole love. You didn't get just the la. You didn't get just the va. You got the whole thing. Do we all agree on that? Shake your head. Ooh, everybody shook their head just about. If you had a neck that moved, you did it. Now, let me tell you why that's so important and how silly that is. But this is so important. If, in fact, we love because God first loved us, if, in fact, we love because God gave you love, then you know what that means about you? It means that if you can speak in tongues of men and angels, but you don't have love, you're just a gonging cymbal. If you got all the faith in the world, but you ain't got love, you're nothing. If you have everything in the world and you give it all away, but you don't have love, there's no meaning to it, right? Because why? Here's what it means. Love is patient and kind. Love doesn't envy. It's not boastful. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. Doesn't get angry easily. Keeps no record of wrongs. Does not delight in evil. Rejoices in the truth. Love always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. Do you realize what that means? It means that you have all that inside you. You have patience. You have trust. You have optimism. You have the ability to build up one another. You have the ability to cherish each other. You have the ability to be caring to each other. You have the ability to treat each other nicer than you do your tennis partner. Because you have all of love inside you. But you know what happens? Oh, I've seen you in traffic. I know who you are. Don't tell me you've got patience. I've been out in public and seen the way you relate to each other, and it makes me just want to curl up in a ball and die. I've seen what you say to each other because you know exactly how to punch the other one's buttons, don't you? Of course you do. Why do we do that when we just said God gave us love, and with love comes patience and kindness and building each other up and trusting each other, forget about mistakes. It's all the good things instead, but then we look at our relationships and we spend so much time kind of shooting at each other and the people around us, and yet we claim that God gave us love. Do you know what happens? We live in a world that bombards us with how cool it is to be rude. We live in a world where you see people who make fun of each other, and then on television you hear that recorded laughter, so you think it's funny to make fun of each other. We live in a world where we learn how to hurt the other person, and somebody somewhere told us that's how you relate in life, and it becomes a habit, and our patience and our kindness and our ability to build each other up, whether that's in relationship with a friend, a spouse, or a church family, it gets replaced with being mean, and it's nothing more than a habit. But if we tap into the fact that we didn't get the bi, we didn't get the bull, we got the Bible, we didn't get the love, we got the love, got the whole thing. If you tap into that, you can discover patience and kindness and optimism. You can end up building each other up. You can be kind to one another. And it just changes everything about the way you look at your life. Everything will change if you give God the opportunity to help you tap in to that fullness of love. If you were in Sunday school this morning, I showed you a picture. I said, that's him. That's Charles Johnson. He's from Texas. So I call him Nacho. I give nicknames to people, and he wanted a nickname, so I call him Nacho. Nacho went with me to the Congo when we discovered that there had been a horrible Ebola scare. Ebola is a terrible, terrible virus that kills people just like this. We were going through one of the hospitals, and the way we discovered it was we were taking pictures of children. And I showed you a picture today of a little boy who's malnourished, and he was sitting in a hospital bed. We got back to the guest house, and Charles said, did you see that little boy? And he showed me the picture. I said, yeah. He goes, do you see that he's not sitting on a mattress? He's sitting on a piece of formica. Where are the mattresses? And I didn't notice, and I didn't know. Charles went and asked the hospital, and that's when we discovered that because of Ebola, 5 of our hospitals burned 375 mattresses. Burned them. People are laying on bed springs or on nothing at all. Think about that. Charles goes, you know, I believe I can do something about that. His heart was so full of love for the people he'd seen, it just undid him. I believe I can do something about it. He found out 375 mattresses cost $25,000. To get them shipped from Kinshasa up to Kananga is another $25,000. And this great big Texan who believed he could do it, who had the faith to do it, said, I'm going to do this. And he went to work, and guess what? From June until Christmas, at Christmas time, we shipped the last of 375 mattresses to those hospitals, put them on the beds because that wonderful Texan had the faith and the love to make it happen. Say amen. When we were in seminary, there's a class that you go to. You walk in, the professor walks in, he's always old, you always stand up. The professor prays, and then you sit down, and here's today's lecture. Whatever you do, don't make Presbyterian women angry at you. End of class. And that's the end of it. That's the wisdom of ages, let me tell you. Monique Malimbe is a Presbyterian woman in Kinshasa. And Monique, as a Presbyterian woman, got angry. Unfortunately, in a lot of developing countries around the world, single mothers are cast away as so much excess baggage. They're just thrown away. They end up, the nice way you say this, they end up working the streets. And that broke Monique's heart. And she came to us as a Presbyterian woman and said, I want to do something about this. And we're not going to say no to an angry Presbyterian woman. We're not stupid. Let me tell you what she did. It's a 12-month program. She takes women off the streets, and for 12 months they're educated. Business, geography, French, Bible, life skills, basic health, and sewing. Cost me $500 a woman. At the end of that 12 months, she's also awarded a sewing machine, and she's set up in business. And in the last year and a half, we've taken 138 women off the streets, given them jobs, self-respect, self-esteem, and given them their hope back. And all because of a woman whose heart was filled with the love of Jesus and said, I want to give these women hope. Say amen. Amen. And you know and I know, one of the basics of life, you can't go wrong with chickens. Isn't that right? Haven't I always said that? As long as you've known me. My last friend is Lorraine Shitungu. She lives in Zimbabwe. Lorraine's husband was a famous artist in Harare, Zimbabwe. Died of a stupid disease. And it left my friend Lorraine with 5 families to care for. She's by herself looking after 5 families of people. She didn't have anybody in the world to turn to except she knew one family in Birmingham, Alabama named the Selmans. And she contacts the Selmans in Birmingham all the way from Zimbabwe who then come to me and they say, we got to do something. This is Lorraine's situation in life. And I said, what does she want to do? And that's when she gave the famous quote, you can't go wrong with chickens. Well, I said, what does that mean? She wanted to start a chicken farm in a country whose economy is devastated. Zimbabwe is in such bad shape, cost $126 billion Zimbabwe dollars to buy one Coca-Cola. Think about that. We funded her chicken farm, and as kind of her response to the government of Zimbabwe, she named her chicken farm Shingai, which in her language, which is Shona, means strength. And she was going to show them, nothing's beating me, Dad. This woman, I can't hardly tell this story. She did so well, she ended up opening a chicken restaurant that did so well, the landlord tripled her rent. Not to be outdone, she closed the restaurant and put the landlord out of business. Isn't that great? Don't you know he regrets it to this day? Go, why did I do that? She just put him out of business. She still has 5 pickup trucks delivering chickens every day from her farm named Strength, because that woman believed you can't go wrong with chickens. And because of her love for her family, she's able to provide for everybody. Again, one more amen. Isn't that something? Let me tell you what I've learned. When you hear these kind of stories, and we talk about the fact that we have kindness, we have patience, we can have relationships that build each other up. When church is over, usually people come out of church just hugging me and jumping up and down. Now they walk out a little more seriously, because that hits closer to home, doesn't it? It hits home, and for some people it's incredibly painful when they recognize right here, right now, I'm the one who's not kind, and I'm the one who's not very patient. And a whole lot of this is about me. And when you feel like you want to beat yourself up on that, here's what I want you to do. Remind yourself, or remind whoever you're talking to, he didn't just give you the love, and you ain't just got the, you got the love. And that gives you something funny to talk about that breaks the ice. What I want you to hear is the hope that can be restored in who we are when we learn to love as gently, as optimistically, as trustingly, and as openly as Jesus first loved us. So here's the challenge today. The challenge is to get off by yourself and say, Lord, how do I tap in to the fullness of your love in my life? How do I, next time in traffic, not begin to pop a cork, but instead say, Lord, let the steam out for me? How about the next time I start to say something that I know will hurt her, Lord, you help me not do that? How about you give us the courage to sit down together and hold hands and look at each other and say, it ain't the love and it ain't the vuh, it ain't the bind, it ain't the bull, it's the love Bible, and let's learn what it has to say to us and laugh about it and set aside the struggles of the past. You do that, oh, the hope's incredible. And the last part is, now that you've heard this, recognize that from now on, when you see yourself in the mirror or you see a reflection walking by the glass in the window, you remind yourself that you are part of the answer. You're not part of the problem in this world. This is what I call the burden of hope. It's recognizing inside each one of us is part of the answer to loving and changing this world. And it's all there because of Jesus Christ. And we have to day in and day out carry with us the very real good news that we're part of the answer. We're not part of the problem. And for that, I'm grateful, and I hope you are too. Remember, you can't go wrong with chickens. God bless you. You stay strong. Have hope. And God bless America. Let's pray together. Father, we establish habits that are good, and sometimes they're not so good. We know how to hurt each other and how to be rude in public. We know how to lose our patience because someone drives slow. My goodness. Father, help us to begin to recognize those traits that are not the love you gave us. And help us to replace that with kindness and patience and optimism, with trust and faith and hope, so that, Father, when the opportunity comes to us, we can believe we can change the world. We can offer hope. We can sure love our families. And we can remember we can't go wrong with chickens. And, Lord, for that, we're so grateful. For Jesus' sake, amen.